660 AM. The Answer.
There is something about the road that beckons, that invites us to pack up the family and leave the world behind. And there is something about an industry-leading unlimited mileage warranty on a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz that gives us the freedom to do exactly that. You take to the highway, rack up the miles for up to 3 years, and drive with the assurance that your Mercedes-Benz is covered. You have the security of being in a car that has been certified to Mercedes-Benz standards, while you enjoy a carefree ownership experience for miles and miles. But while the mileage is unlimited, your time to take advantage of our certified pre-owned sales event is not. Now through June 1st, you can also receive complimentary prepaid maintenance and your first 2 months payments on us on select models, plus 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. So hurry into your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer today and see why we say the odometer is there to record the memories.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Listen to us live on iHeartRadio, 660 AM, The Answer.
America's liberty is under assault, and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM, The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiatis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Good evening. Hello. Welcome. Welcome to Ladies Can We Talk. This is Debbie Georgiatis. So glad you've tuned in to Ladies Can We Talk. This is a two-hour show on one night a week, Sunday nights, and it's a very fast 2 hours each week. Ladies Can We Talk is the name of the show, also the name of the book that I wrote by that same title, Ladies Can We Talk. And one of our main things we say over and over and over is that all issues are women's issues. And we talk about every issue touching, shaping America, potentially shaping America's future. And we have a lot of great things in store for you in the next couple of hours. I did want, though, before we even launch into the news of the day at all, to say, to take a brief moment to acknowledge that the entire nation is actually mourning the death of our Vice President Joe Biden's son, Beau Biden. And I didn't know until just recently reading about Vice President Biden's life, he's actually had several personal tragedies in his life. And, you know, all politics aside, all views of America and government aside, as a nation, we should collectively send our thoughts and prayers to the Biden family. So sorry for their loss of their son, Beau Biden, a young man of age at age 46 with a wife and two kids, and who served America. So very, very sorry for that loss. And just want to be sure to always leave politics out of anything that's so deeply personal. So moving on from that, what we have lined up in the show tonight, it's just going to be a really fun and as usual, packed show. We have our second hour is always when my leading ladies join me. And my leading ladies tonight are Dorinda Randall and Chris Davis. And they are here in the studio and they'll be on with me the second hour. And we're going to run through bunch of things today. Our interviews, I want to mention, we have coming up. We don't always have interviews, but we do have them. They're great. And this tonight, we have coming out at 6:30, Star Parker. And if you don't know that name, I do suggest that you Google it. Star Parker is a woman, American author who she ran for Congress. She founded an organization in Washington called CURE, C-U-R-E, Center for Urban Renewal and education. And the basic story of Star Parker is that she grew up under the welfare system in Los Angeles. She lived several years of her adult life in utter dependence on government and went down the path of drug use and just all sorts of challenges that become part of many people's lives as they live a life of dependency on government. And then she actually had just a beautiful experience in a church. She walked into a church one day in the middle of being addicted to drugs and all sorts of other problems going on in her life, and spoke with a pastor. And I'm not sure she'll share all of what occurred, but the short story is, or long story is, it really changed her life. And she put that life of government dependency and welfare, being a welfare recipient, behind her. She's African-American. She has become one of the most outspoken conservative advocates for changing our government dependency system so that we help lift people out of poverty by actually inspiring them to believe in themselves. And she's a great motivator of people, great life story. She has a new book out. She's going to talk about that book. So she's on at 6:30. And then right at the 7 o'clock hour, the top of the second hour, we have a local Dallas author joining us named Karen Watson. And she is also African-American, is also an author, and going to talk with us about her second book and actually some of her reactions to where we stand today with respect to race relations in America, given we have President Obama in his sixth year of his very, very long two-term presidency. So she'll be joining us at 7 o'clock. What I want to talk about, I always try in this first hour to hit on a story that really touches on what I've been talking over and over on the show about, which is the idea that every generation in America has the moral, the ethical, the political obligation to stand up, to speak up, to defend the building blocks of America, to defend what America was founded on, to recognize when ideas that come up that are harmful to America, that we defend America. And so, and because we, our job is, as protectors of our liberty, of this generation's protection of our liberty, it's our job. And so I will talk in just a moment. I want to talk about the concept of, as I did last week also, the Gaslight movie and the concept of gaslighting being talked more often, more frequently these days by some commentators. We're going to hit right after that. I want to talk about Denny Hastert, FIFA, and the Clinton Racketeering Foundation. I have a great little point to make with all that. We'll have a Star Parker on. And then we're going to talk in the second hour a bit about what's happening in Baltimore, the crime wave hitting the country, the causes of Baltimore's collapse, and what really loving, caring American patriots should do to solve those kinds of problems. We're going to have to hit before the end of this 2 hours. We had Governor O'Malley, the Maryland governor, a Democrat governor, a former governor, declare his presidency, his race for the presidency. And we're going to talk about a lot of the candidates. That'll be a great conversation. So that is where we're headed tonight. I appreciate you listening. What I want to talk about in this first hour is this idea about the extreme importance of the free press. And how if you have a press that doesn't tell you the truth, if you have a press you hold out or they hold themselves out as being neutral, presenting facts, and what they're really doing is advocating for one view or the other, that's not honest. And let me step back and tell you and remind you again, and I urge you all to think about this more and more as you read news and process your reaction to news, this concept of gaslighting, or the movie. It came from the movie Gaslight. It was in the 1940s sometime. It had Ingrid Bergman in it. And the short story is, it involved a woman whose husband was cheating on her. And she was finding evidence, she was figuring it out, but he was dedicated not just to denying it, but to making her think she was losing her mind, to cause her to question her own, what she saw, her own senses, what she heard, her reasoning, her thinking, causing her to think, I actually can't think myself. I'm unable to think. He's telling me truth and I'm there's something wrong with me. And this gaslighting that he was doing to her was successful until one constable somehow involved, and to tell you the truth, I've read about the movie. I haven't seen it, but I've ordered it. I'm going to see it. But the point in the movie was this one constable finally came along and was with her at this time when he said to her, no, you're right. The gaslight did dim. You're right. And it caused her to all of a sudden realize, wow, okay, I was being duped by my husband. And what the term gaslighting is now being used by political commentators, among the most noble, Bill Whittle of PJTV or PJ Media. He's also on BillWhittle.com. I'm doing a plug for him because he's awesome. But he talked about this idea, the Democrat Party in league with the mainstream media in America that pretend is neutral and isn't, is just an advocacy for left-wing viewpoint. And in some sense, they are gaslighting America. They are saying our view on whatever the issue is X, Y, Z. It is right. You're wrong. Not only are you wrong if you don't agree with them, but your sanity, your clarity of thought, your reasoning is being undermined. You're being told, no, you don't know the truth about climate change. You're not allowed to read or think anything that we have not previously approved. You can't draw your conclusions. You're crazy. You are a denier. You are an Islamophobe. You are a something phobic. You're something crazy if you won't agree with us. And this is just a minor example, but it's just a most amazing thing. On the front page of the Wall Street Journal, wonderful newspaper, front page of the Wall Street Journal the last couple of days. In fact, one of my leading ladies tonight suggested we could call this the tale of the two Joshes. But Okay, so here's a true story, and ties back to gaslighting and the media misleading us. So the Wall Street Journal, which, by the way, you may be thinking, well, that's a conservative paper. Let me make clear. The Wall Street Journal editorial board is conservative. The Wall Street Journal news reporters, the people whose stories appear on the front page as though they're a neutral fact, they are liberal. They're pretty much in the league with all the other left-wing liberal newspapers that try to pretend that they are neutral. But on the Wall Street Journal, on May 28th, there was a headline, an article by a gentleman named Josh Zumbrun, who his title was, Class of 2015 is Summa Cum Laude Lucky in the Job Market. He's saying that people graduating from college this year in 2015 are so indescribably lucky because they live in the Obama economy and the jobs are bursting forth. And he actually quotes things like unemployment rate is now at 5.4. This is a quote from him. This year's graduating class is among the luckiest in decades. And this use of employment figures as though they're standing by themselves, proof of anything, he's pointing to this 5.4 unemployment figure to say, wow, you know, there's extremely low unemployment and means that, you know, you're just going to have that these kids graduating are just going to, the market's booming, you're going to have tons of jobs, you're going to have great pay. He actually projects based on the economy, not only will they have an easy time finding a job, but they'll actually have higher pay and higher pay going up regularly. It is just this euphoric presentation of the economy. Okay, and the other tale of two Joshes, Josh number two, Josh Mitchell, has a front page article very next day in the Wall Street Journal entitled, The U.S. Recovery Stumbles Yet Again. And it's talking about how this happy talk picture about the economy is just simply false happy talk. It actually goes through and talks about, for example, the economy is contracting, the U.S. economy is shrinking, gross domestic product contracted at a 0.7 annual rate during the first 3 months, which is far worse than the agency, the Commerce Department's initial estimate that showed it would only be 0.2. And it goes on and on with bad economic data. On top of that, so it's, you know, one day front of Wall Street Journal, the economy is booming. These lucky graduates, they're just going to have jobs, you know, coming at them. And the next day, well, actually, reality check, the economy is not so hot. And I want to say one thing. Two quick points. The economy, when they talk about the jobless rate, that is just simply the number of people who are still looking for work and can't find a job. That does not take into account the millions and millions and millions of Americans who are in this miserable jobless economy cannot find jobs. There's just, it's a false figure. And, you know, there's a lot of sports analogies I've heard people make about how, you know, you can say, wow, our team hit 3 home runs, you know, but then the truth is you lost the game like 17-3. Okay, so 3 home runs were not that impressive. So I just say this to say, when you read things, recognize the agenda of people who love liberalism, love President Obama, is to make the economy look good when it isn't good. And then you see these numbers like 5.4 unemployment rate, and you think, wow, that's just awesome. I must be crazy to think the economy is bad. I mean, I look around, I know young people can't find jobs. It's something like 1 in 4 kids who graduated from college in the last 4 years live at home with their parents. It's some number like that. Don't quote me. But the idea, point is, there's a lot of people, there are many people looking for jobs because the economy is not great. But this gaslighting thing is trying to make you question your own judgment. Don't give in. So I went a tiny bit long in this segment. I can't wait to tell you in the next segment how we're going to tie together Danny Hastert, the Clinton Racketeering Foundation, and FIFA. Honestly, they're all connected. So I hope you'll come back after the break. This is Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk. We'll have a quick break and come back. And then again, I'll remind you at 6:30, we have Star Parker on with us. Come back after the break to Ladies Can We Talk.
Saying I don't know is no longer acceptable. This is 660 AM, The Answer.
Here's a quick way to figure out whether someone loves American-style liberty or not. Ask about American exceptionalism, because I'll tell you what American exceptionalism is based on. It's about the idea in the Declaration of Independence that all men and women are created equal, that we have rights from our Creator to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's about a Constitution that both limits and defines government's power. It's about the freedoms guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. It's about the values that emerged
from the Declaration and Constitution. It's about limited government. It's about morality based in the Bible's teachings. It's about rights of the individual, not the group. It's about self-reliance and opportunity. It's about family structure. It's about free markets, not collectivism. It's about the rule of law. It's about predictable and limited taxes and regulations. It's about optimism, the can-do spirit, the sense we can go as far up as our dreams, efforts, and abilities take us. That is what American conceptualism is all about.
Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear, a life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And right now, you can try Listen Clear absolutely risk-free with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now, 1-800-661-2231. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now, 1-800-661-2231. That's 1-800-661-2231. 1-800-661-2231.
Hey, does the idea of having your home sold on time without hassle and for top dollar, does that seem unrealistic to you? Well, it doesn't have to. Hey, Dallas, it's your friend Sean Hannity with your solution and the one real estate agent to sell your home guaranteed. That's Josh DeShong of Josh DeShong Real Estate at Keller Williams. On average, Josh sells a home every 32 hours and averages hundreds of local, national, and international buyers every single week. Now, that means your home sells on time at a price that you agreed to guaranteed, or Josh will buy it. He spends 200 times more money on marketing than the average agent. Real estate mogul and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran only recommends Josh in DFW. And if I lived in Dallas and needed my home sold, guess what? I'd call Josh DeShong, and you should too. Call Josh now at 972-325-6644 or go online at getsold.net. That's 972-325-6644 or getsold.net.
Howdy, folks. Crazy Gun Deal here, and I want you to know that nobody wants your gun business more than I do. To prove it, this week I have Taurus 709 Slim Pistols. Normal dealer wholesale was $286. Right now I've got them for you for only $199. That's right, $199. Plus, I'll still give you free CHO classes, a free lifetime warranty, and a free range membership. Folks, this is in-store only, and while they last, so get here quick. That's the Crazy Gun Dealer in Alvarado, just 30 minutes south of Dallas or 20 minutes south of Fort Worth. Keep up with our crazy offers. Text CRAZY to 75309. Visit us at crazygundealer.com or give us a call at 855-329-GUNS. And finally, folks, I want you to remember, if I don't already have the best gun deal anywhere, I'll beat any price, anywhere, gun to gun, anytime, because nobody wants your business more than I do.
All offers and promotions subject to change or restrictions. See store for complete details.
Dallas, Fort Worth's home for stimulating talk. 660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there, and welcome back. Thanks for tuning in, Ladies Can We Talk. I want to try in just this next probably 10 minutes to tie together three stories that are in the news. Just to talk, tie them to the idea of the rule of law and how, in America, how much the rule of law matters. I will say, as a lawyer, I know that maybe some people hear the term rule of law and it doesn't really necessarily resonate that much. I mean, yes, we all know we have laws, but it's the idea that everyone is subject to the same laws, not just that the laws apply to everyone, but that they govern everyone, but they are applied to everyone roughly equally, that we don't have favored classes of people who don't have to comply with the law. And that's really a vital, vital part of liberty in America. It's a vital part of keeping our society stable and keeping our people trusting in the government and keeping order in society. So my three stories I want to tie together, which I think just speak volumes about how far removed we are from the rule of law in America. Okay, one is a story you probably read this week. And again, this is Debbie George Addison, Ladies Can We Talk. And I want to quick say, be sure to remember to stay tuned until after our 6:30 hour when we have Star Parker coming on to talk with us. But in this segment, so Denny Hastert, who was a former U.S. congressman, in fact, he was a former Speaker of the House. He was indicted this week, and he was indicted over his for lying to federal officials about the amount of money he was withdrawing or the reasons for the amount of money he was withdrawing from his own accounts. The short story is Denny Hastert was paying a bribe. Someone was blackmailing him. He was paying a bribe, and it had to do with his conduct apparently years earlier when he was a wrestling coach, and he apparently, this is allegedly, got involved sexually with a minor, with one or two minor boys. And so over the years, he's been blackmailed. So he's been paying this bribe money and to the tune of something like $3.5 million over the years. And the reason it came to light is because there's a Patriot Act kind of created ability of the federal government to monitor cash transactions. So they went to him and they said, hey, how come? And the law basically says if you're withdrawing $10,000 or more, they can come to you and say, hey, why are you withdrawing such large chunks? It has to do with, you know, laundering terrorist money or other kind of criminal money. So he lied to the investigators about why he was withdrawing this money. He was withdrawing it to pay bribes, and he didn't want to say that. So he just said, I'm withdrawing, you know, for whatever reasons he gave. So he's being prosecuted, and he's the victim of the blackmailing. I want to make that really, really clear. He's not the recipient of money. He's not the recipient, the receiver of the bribe money. He's paying the bribe. Normally, not that I'm defending anything Denny Hastert allegedly did, I don't know what he did, but normally the government goes after the person who's doing the blackmailing. But in Denny Hastert's case, this is too rich for words for the left-wing media and left-wing American government and the Department of Justice, which is not equally applying justice. They can hardly salivating about this idea to go after a former Republican Speaker of the House. He apparently had behaved badly when he was younger. But the idea that they're prosecuting and they're prosecuting him over lying about why he was taking his own money out of his own bank account. He wasn't making money on this. So, okay, put Denny Hastert aside. Next thing I want to mention is FIFA, which is this big soccer scandal. And this is basically, if you haven't been, no, we're not a soccer family. In our happy little American family, we're pretty much into football, basketball, and sometimes baseball. But soccer is a big thing, especially in other countries around the world. And FIFA, which is the International Soccer Organization, was subject to an actually American U.S.-led prosecution of these officials of FIFA who were apparently taking money from some countries who wanted to host the World Cup. And, you know, the countries that actually won the right to have the World Cup in their country that were called into question were Russia and Qatar, depending how you want to say that. It's Qatar. And people, no matter how you say it, someone corrects you and says it the other way. But the point of all this is the U.S. government spent your tax dollars, your resources to investigate bribery. And apparently there was significant bribery by some countries to get their way to get the World Cup held in their country. Because after all, you know, it brings money to your country, it brings fame, brings attention, brings spenders, brings tourists. I mean, it's a big deal to get the World Cup. Qatar was particularly criticized because it's not a soccer country. Hardly anyone plays soccer there. And the weather is so miserably hot in the normal World Cup time, they had to change the month that they're holding the soccer thing. But we, our U.S. government, Loretta Lynch, and perhaps this preceded her, we also involved Eric Holder, our Department of Justice decided it was worth their money and your taxpayer dollars to go after people for taking bribes about where the World Cup was held, okay, to play soccer. Now let's move to the Clinton Racketeering Foundation. The Clinton Foundation, as everyone who has a pulse is now aware, is under extreme scrutiny for the many, many payments that came into the Clinton Foundation during the time Hillary Clinton was actually serving as the Secretary of State. She was one of the highest level positions in the American government. And during that time, many, many countries were donating to the Clinton Foundation. I'll just give you two little delicious bites out of this Clinton Foundation racketeering, and you could call it bribery thing. One is this. While Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, her department approved $165 billion worth of commercial arms sales to Clinton Foundation donors. That figure from Clinton's three full fiscal years in office is about double the value of arms sales to those countries during the same time when President Bush, in his second term, just preceding her rise to Secretary of State. Another little Clinton fact, the Clinton-led State Department also authorized $151 billion of separate Pentagon-brokered deals for 16 of the countries that gave to the Clinton Foundation. That was a 143% increase in completed sales to nations over the same time, nations who donated to the Clinton Foundation. Okay, so I tie these stories to say this. Loretta Lynch cannot find it in her ethics, in her principles, in her commitment to the rule of law to even say, you know, we might should investigate the Clinton Foundation. Maybe we ought to look into why Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State and as a head of the Clinton Foundation, was taking this money in from countries who then obviously benefited from the fact they donated to the Clinton Foundation and they got arms sales, they got deals, they got agreements. This is corruption. And I'll tell you, I mentioned on numerous other shows, but the United States Constitution actually says, in the original Constitution, says that any official of the U.S. government cannot receive gifts or of money from foreign powers. So she's getting millions of donations to her foundation. And I know the American left is all about saying, well, but there's no smoking gun. You can't really prove it. But this stuff is out in the open. This is not speculation. And so this is Loretta Lynch spending your tax dollars looking into FIFA and soccer and where some soccer game is played. But it's not okay. It doesn't even rise to the level of her attention or of a comment for Loretta Lynch to say, you know, we better look into what Hillary's doing here. This really, really sounds dishonest. Not even there. Can't get her to do it. I'm telling you, folks, we're up against a break here. And so I had this little segment about Denny Hastert getting nailed over being the victim of bribery. We have your tax dollars spent chasing down apparent bribery in the U.S. soccer world. Nobody died over it. No foreign policy was created as a result of it. And the Hillary Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Foundation, with Hillary Clinton, one of the three principals, and conducting, serving as Secretary of State, and there's not a peep out of our Department of Justice, out of Loretta Lynch, about this, about whether we ought to look into this. You know, folks, we're up against this break here, but this is Debbie George Addison, Ladies Can We Talk. This rule of law thing, if you lose it, it's how you become tyrannical. It's how you have tyrants come to power. It's how you get to corruption. It's how you lose ordered society. It matters. This is Debbie George Addison, Ladies Can We Talk. Please come back after the break, and we'll talk with Star Parker.
This is 660 AM, The Answer. Are you ready to experience Israel?
Every once in a while, an opportunity to do something truly special comes along. An opportunity for an unforgettable and timely expedition to the land of Israel. This year, be a part of the Stand With Israel Tour. Spend 9 days this fall in the fascinating and dramatic land of Israel with Mike Gallagher and Dennis Prager. Enjoy first-class accommodations and meals in comfort and safety. Visit 660amtheanswer.com for all the details and to register now. That's 660amtheanswer.com.
Abolish the IRS. Well, sounds like a pipe dream, a phony rallying cry that politicians love to use, but they never act on it. But really, hasn't the time come to get serious about abolishing the IRS and replacing our convoluted income tax code with something like a fair tax or flat tax? Common sense is starting to scream from the rooftops. The way the IRS has behaved in targeting conservatives, stonewalling congressional investigations, having lead IRS officials taking the fifth, and generally conveying a mind-blowing, out-of-control arrogance, says it's time to shut down this government agency. This kind of action is what is known as taking back our country. Debbie Georgiadis here, your host on Ladies Can We Talk, from Sunday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. On my show, we talk truth about America, and we talk about what can be done to truly take back the country. I hope you'll join me in the fight.
Hey, everybody. Mark Davis from my friends at USMD Prostate Cancer Center. You know, cancer is challenging enough without having to head all over town for a test over here, a doctor's appointment over there, maybe something else across town some other direction. At USMD Prostate Cancer Center, you're going to one place. And there's one website, 888-PROSTATE.com, one phone number, 1-888-PROSTATE, and one team of doctors, specialists, patient navigators, all committed to making sure that prostate cancer is put behind you so that you can live a long and healthy life. USMD Prostate Cancer Center, the message begins with testing. Every guy needs to get tested, started with that 40th birthday, and after that, clean test, see you next year. If there's something in there, maybe it's so teeny tiny we look at it for a while. It's active surveillance. Maybe it's cryotherapy time, robotic surgery time. They do it all at USMD Prostate Cancer Center. Saving guys' lives, one guy at a time. So guys, let's go. 1-888-PROSTATE or 888-PROSTATE.com. USMD Prostate Cancer Center. 1-888-PROSTATE or 888-PROSTATE.com.
Do you panic every time the phone rings? Do you dread opening the mail? Are you scared to see who is at the front door? One phone call to the experts at Rush Tax Resolution can put an end to your nightmare. If you owe $10,000 or more in personal or business taxes, have unfiled returns, received an audit notice, or have been threatened with a levy or garnishment, chances are your tax problem has been costing you a lot of sleep. Call 877-554-RUSH to get effective and reputable help today. Rush Tax Resolution has federally licensed tax experts with unrestricted rights to represent and defend you before the IRS. They will hold your hand through the process and get you a permanent solution to your tax problem. You may even have up to 85% of your taxes forgiven. And if you're not sure what the IRS has in your file, call today and receive a free transcript analysis. Call now, 877-554-RUSH. That's 877-554-RUSH. Or log on to rushtaxresolution.com. 877-554-7874.
You've helped make Lumber Liquidators North America's largest specialty retailer of hardwood flooring. To say thanks, we've made unbelievable price cuts on top quality floors at our customer appreciation sale. It's your chance to get pre-finished hardwood for just 99 cents and hand-scraped acacia hardwood for $2.99. That's half of what you'd pay at other stores. Plus deals on 400 beautiful floors, including quality laminate from 49 cents and 24-month special financing. You trust our value, we value your trust. So get to the customer appreciation sale today. Visit lumberliquidators.com to find a store near you.
660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good evening, and thank you so very much for calling in to Ladies Can We Talk. This is Debbie Georgiadis. We have a very, very special guest on the line with us tonight. I'm speaking with Star Parker. Good evening, Star.
Hi. It's good to be with you, Deb.
Good to be with you. You know, I've met you a few times in your work around America, and I've always been so impressed with the message you bring from the voice of experience to America and to really to the poorer communities in America about what's really going to help and heal poverty and really just the even strained race relations in America. So I thank you and commend you for your work. And before you came on, I told our guests a little bit about your life and your background, but I want to start by offering you the opportunity. Why don't you tell our guests about your organization that you founded called CURE?
Well, I founded the Center for Urban Renewal and Education because I really felt there should be a voice from the right that looks at poverty, that looks at economic inequality, that looks at the $900 billion every year that we invest in poverty programs to try to solve these questions, that we need an organization that looks at these things and actually speaks from a conservative perspective of what has broken down and how we fix it. You know, as you know, I believe the lie of the left and got very lost in their concepts, the concepts that they've been sending out to our country for the last 50 years in law, in public policy, that have now ruined people's lives and ruined entire communities. So I founded CURE as an alternative voice representing Black America so that we can change public policy so that men can live free.
I just love that. And, you know, you also have your first book out. I think it was your first one. It was called Uncle Sam's Plantation. Was that your first book?
No, it was not. And I'm losing track of when. I've just finished my fourth book. It's ready right now. People can get it. It's called Blind Conceit, and it looks at race and race polarization. It looks at policy, and it looks at public, you know, at politics itself and why we get so lost in this. But Uncle Sam's Plantation was actually my second book. And what I did was look at my personal journey from welfare fraud to conservative crusader, as some are calling it, from a Christian perspective, because that's how I left welfare. That's how I left that lost life, was by becoming born again. And so Uncle Sam's Plantation addresses that. It has my personal story. And then I look into, deeply into, the welfare state and show people components that they didn't even know they were funding. And we think that, you know, we look at the $18 trillion that we're in debt, and people get very upset by this, and they should be. But when you think about every dollar of that, it's a program or a person, you start to think, well, how did it break down, and how do we fix it? And so those are the things I try to address in Uncle Sam's Plantation.
I love that book, and I will tell our listeners, I have already downloaded Blind Conceit onto my iPad. And, you know, I will say, I think it's just, it is so refreshing for so many people in America to hear someone speaking up who's lived through some experience in as a recipient of welfare, and then stepping back and saying, I want more for the impoverished in America. I want more for our low-income communities than just the next handout. I want a hand up. I love that message. In your Blind Conceit book, you talked about, Blind Conceit book, you talked about the three wars the left has waged against low-income Americans, and they are the war on religion, the war on marriage, and the war on poverty. And I thought that was just a brilliant way to summarize the left's policies.
And interestingly, Debbie, they did it all at the same time during the 60s. And unfortunately, it wasn't just a war on the poor, because had those three wars just been on the poor, maybe we could fix it, because it's a small portion of our population. But these three wars, the war on religion, the war on marriage, and the war on poverty, were all during the 60s as a social experiment against all of traditions of our country. We were founded in principles of traditional values and limited government and free markets and a national allegiance that tied us all together in a concept called e pluribus unum. But they started breaking them down through this, let's scrub the schools of any mention of God. They started breaking these traditions down by saying, you know, we're having a feminist movement. You don't have to do a household the way that God told you to do in that Bible. Remember, we scrubbed the Bible away. And then on top of it, they layered this war on poverty that says, oops, if there are natural consequences to your illicit sexual behaviors, because now you're not confined in a marriage, now we have safety nets, social safety nets. So rather than the natural consequence, we will take care of you. Within 5 years after King's death, we ended up with abortion as national law. And that's why the black community got caught up first in the damage created by these three wars that happened during the 60s. But make no mistake, the rest of society is feeling the pain when you consider that during the 60s, out-of-wedlock birth rates were in the white community around 3%. Today they're at 30%, 8% higher than where blacks were when they started the social engineering. During the 60s, black out-of-wedlock birth rate was about 22%, and today it's 72%. So you're absolutely right. It is a capture of what happened with the hard left as they began through public policy shaping out this new America. And I wanted to it exposed, and that's why I wrote Blind Conceit, so that we can fight back, so that we can get ourselves back on track for the traditions that built this country and built people's personal lives.
Star, I love that. You know, I mentioned, I think you had a column about this, and I couldn't find it when I was looking last night, but there was a conference at Georgetown, which is my law school alma mater. I love Georgetown, and so I'm sorry they're so liberal, but there was a Georgetown panel on poverty recently, and President Obama was on the panel, along with another gentleman who was quite liberal, and then one lone stalwart conservative, Arthur Brooks of American Enterprise Institute. And one thing President Obama said at that panel was essentially the main reason we haven't healed poverty in America is we're not investing. That was his word, investing enough in the poor. And he also and so his solution was to berate high income people and say they should be investing more in lifting poverty. What's your reaction to that?
Well, two things. One, we've already invested over $14 trillion. If you look at from the beginning of the war on poverty and all of the means-tested programs that come out of it. When I say means-tested, it means that you have qualifiers to get the money. A government shouldn't be in these business in the first place, so they build out qualifiers through public policy. And most people don't even realize that 80 cents on a dollar that we think we're helping the poor with actually stays in the bureaucracy. Less than 20 cents on a dollar actually reaches the households we say we're trying to help.
Oh my
because
gosh.
The taxpayers have been forced to send their money to Washington. They build out bureaucracy to then block, send it back to the states. The state has to manage it, so they have their bureaucracy. They send it down to the county. They have their bureaucracy, and then they get it to the city, and then it finally maybe might help people. It's cruel what we're doing. So, number one, we've already done enough investment, and unfortunately, people like Barack Obama and other hardcore left-wing liberals do not believe that we should make any changes in any programs, even though we all know that they're not working, because after that type of investment, $14 trillion, we have not moved the poverty percentage even a little bit in this country. It's still about 25% of the entire population that goes in and out of poverty. But what we have changed is family life, as I just described. What we did do is break down the holder of tradition, the family, husband, wife, children. It's underappreciated that in the 70s, a household, husband, wife, children in America was at 40%. 40% of American households during the 70s was husband, wife, children. Today, that number is 17%. 17% of American households today are husband, wife, children. So we collapsed family life and tradition as we know it. So it brings to the second point, why that concept that he keeps pushing out will never work, never worked in the history of the country, is because the whole model of redistribution of wealth is inconsistent with America's founding and with the Bible, which is much more important. The you know, when you think about our founding, we were founded as a country of freedom and personal responsibility. Well, redistribution of wealth, this idea of social justice, doesn't work. You cannot take from one and give to the other. Even Abraham Lincoln was known to say this continuously. So these are not new ideas just from the conservative radical right wing, as they keep trying to pretend. No, most of people of thought and reason understand that people must be responsible by the choices they make if they really want to prosper and move out of poverty. But the second reason it won't work is because it's inconsistent with the Bible. The 10th commandment says, do not covet. And socialism is rooted in covetousness. Somebody has something somebody else doesn't have, so we hire politicians now to go take it from them. It's theft and it's covetousness, and so it will never work in this country. I don't care how many debates they have at whatever prestigious colleges they want to go to. The concept won't work, and frankly, it's cruel to the poor, because what we've done over the last 50 years through this social model and this social engineering is we've concentrated poverty. We paid women to not marry to produce children, and now they live in what we've done is built new ghettos through housing policy called HUD in Section 8. So now we've concentrated poverty in little pockets around this country that are social chaos zones. They're just morally collapsed. And then we wonder why the police go in with a heavy hand. It's just insane that the left keeps thinking that if we just do this widget one more time, that it's going to work. It's not. It's the definition of insanity to keep going in a model that you know has broken down time after time after time again.
Wow. That was just a brilliant summary of everything that's been happening in America in the last 4 years. Star, thank you so much. I want to turn, we're near the end of this segment, but I want to turn a moment to ask you about race relations in America. I think that as President Obama ran for office, there was a lot of talk about we could be post-racial America, or at least we could have better race relations. But a recent poll, consistent with many others, says that 55% of Americans say race relations are worse now under President Obama than they were when he started. So my question to you is, what would a noble, scripturally based, you know, Christian thinking leader of America do to heal race relations? What are the messages? What do we need to do?
Well, I think we need to befriend each other and bring it out of the political and bring it right down to the personal and start rebuilding our own personal relationships once again. Because as you're pointing out, we were on a journey toward wholeness, and especially Christians. But what has happened over the last 4 or 5 years is the American people said, we are taxed enough already. We are not going to allow you to come in and start remaking and transforming America through taking more money. And when you think about who's already paying taxes, the 1%, that they talk about already pays 46% of the taxes. When you think about the top 20% of the country, they pay almost 80% of all taxes. So they are taxed up already. But in messaging like that, the black community took offense, because what has happened over the last 50 years in the social engineering and building out these bureaucracies, you're talking about the black middle class. The black middle class is working for government. It's the disproportion to the population. While blacks are about 14% of the population, 25% of black middle class, of the blacks work for the government. They're in these bureaucracies from the yep. Washington to the states, to the county, to the city. So when you start talking about cutting back and reducing size and scope of government, people are saying, there goes my job. So we've broken down relationships. So the only way that we're going to fix it again is to engage on a personal level and let people know that we as a society will not survive if we don't think together, work together, love together, and rebuild to our common interest. Our common interest should be traditional values, limited government, free markets, and a strong national allegiance and defense that's rooted in e pluribus unum. Many became one.
We are speaking tonight with Star Parker. That last segment, Star, was just, it was just so stellar. I thank you so very much for calling in. And again, I'll remind our listeners, we're speaking with Star Parker, who is the author of her most recent book, Blind Conceit, author of several other books, including Uncle Sam's Plantation, founder of CURE. And Star, I want to give you, just we have about 5 seconds left, but can you tell our listeners how to find you and your website so they can support you?
Oh, that'd be awesome. UrbanCure.org. If they just Google Star Parker, StarParker.com, UrbanCure.org. We're a 501c3. We're only supported by the benevolence of people that say this message needs to continue. So, yes, I would love to hear from your folks. I would love to have more support. UrbanCure.org or StarParker.com.
Star Parker, thank you so very much. This is Debbie George Addis and Ladies Can We Talk, and we're headed up to our break right now. Come on back after our break.
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show. Mornings 7 to 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Hi, Debbie George Addis here, and it's time for a Liberty Minute on the subject of individual responsibility. The rioting in Baltimore may seem like a strange background for talking about American liberty, but it isn't. America is the first nation founded upon the importance of the individual, not the collective. And the emphasis on liberty for the individual has a vital counterpart, the demand for individual responsibility. America will be on a better path when we stop focusing on the police as a group, or on gangs, or on races, but on individual responsibility for individual behavior. An American citizen apparently suffered serious injury and then death while in police custody. There are individuals responsible for that. Freddie Gray had a lengthy rap sheet that put him in police custody many times. He's responsible for that. And each rioter is responsible for his or her own conduct. America must demand responsibility and accountability from individuals as individuals. This protects law and order, justice, and ultimately, liberty.
This plan is not insurance and does not meet minimum credible coverage requirements under the Affordable Care Act. This discount card program contains a 30-day cancellation and refund period. Administrator and benefits limited. Dallas, Texas, not available in all states.
Are your medical expenses and insurance costs out of control? There's a way to pay less for the healthcare you need. RealMedSavings.com. It's a membership like a club that lets you access huge networks of medical professionals for a whole lot less money. RealMedSavings even connects you with a board-certified physician anytime, 24 hours a day. The doctor will consult with you, diagnose the condition, and when necessary, call in the prescription. You pay nothing for the doctor's consultation because you're a member. You save money because we've already negotiated discounts on dental, vision, prescription drugs, and much more. Just go to RealMedSavings.com and learn all about it. RealMedSavings is not insurance. You just save real money on your health care for you and your whole family. And it costs less than a dollar a day for the whole family. No salesperson will call, and there is no long-term commitment. Convenient money-saving health care. RealMedSavings.com.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's a powerful secret that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $5,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're debt relief advocates, and we're offering you free information on how to virtually eliminate your credit card debt and make your monthly payment affordable. To see how much you could save, call now, 1-800-400-0096. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. Find out how easy it is by calling now. For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call Debt Relief Advocates now and see how much money you could save for free. 1-800-400-0096. That's 1-800-400-0096. 1-800-400-0096.
In the early 60s, Dolores and Ray Butcher and their three daughters earned a trip to Disneyland by collecting S&H green stamps. It was a dream come true. Today, nearly everyone has a wallet or keychain full of loyalty reward cards that they use for discounts, gifts, and even free dinners at their favorite restaurants. For years, an international company has been offering a universal loyalty rewards card in Europe. We call it the Blue Card, one card to replace dozens. The Blue Card offers discounts up to 5% cash back. It even accumulates points to shop at participating merchants and an online mall. Today, they're looking for independent representatives to launch this card in the U.S. and Canada. It is free to get the card and free to become a representative. You could help launch the Blue Card in your area and get paid wherever it is used. Imagine you could be paid every time someone fills their gas tank, buys groceries, orders an airline ticket, or purchases just about anything.
To get your free Blue Card, go to BlueCardShopping.com. That's BlueCardShopping.com. BlueCardShopping.com.
If you've got questions, we've got answers. 660 AM, The Answer.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey there, and welcome back. This is my favorite music. This little Lita music right now is really fun. I want to thank Star Parker again for that interview. She's really a stellar American, a patriot, a brave woman. She speaks her mind, as you heard, and she's doing tremendous work for America and really the most effective work to help lift Americans of all backgrounds out of poverty, to inspire them to embrace and believe in the American dream and the American system, which is freedom and liberty and hard work and reliance on your God-given talents to work hard and achieve. And, you know, the show, Ladies Can We Talk, I do this show. I mean, I love radio. I love talking about America and thinking about it. And I do this show really, I do it to inform and to persuade. I want to encourage people to see America as the most precious, special country on earth, to recognize that many things that the left suggests in America, they set their feel-good answers, they sound nice, they sound caring, they're compassionate, and all that kind of stuff, but they actually end up hurting America, hurting Americans' future, hurting American citizens, especially the poorest among us. And that's part of what Star Parker figured out years ago and what she speaks of now. So I'm very, very grateful for her. Well, this little segment, this is a very short segment before we have to actually go to the top of the hour break, but I sometimes do a cruise through the news in this segment, and I want to kind of hit a cruise through an issue in the news, which has to do with President Obama's legacy. You know, I always say I try in the show to talk about politics and not people, and, you know, principles and that kind of scandal stuff. It's not exactly personal to politicians, but what President Obama and the American left, those leading the Democrat Party in America, stand for today is profoundly inconsistent with what America is, what was founded to be, what it's supposed to be. And one thing that is coming to the attention of many writers now is the question of what will be President Obama's legacy. What will it be in terms of policy he shaped that stays in place? And one way to look at that that's really, really interesting, and that many of these things are coming to the forefront, has to do with what among all of his policies will, when the Supreme Court is done looking at them, what will be in place? Will he have a legacy that he wanted? I'm going to mention one thing. I think Ted Cruz has a list on his website, but if he doesn't, I know there's another link that Bob Goodlatte, who's a Republican congressman, I think from Virginia, he talked recently about the fact that 13 times the United States Supreme Court has struck down something President Obama did 9-0. The court is famous for having 5-4 decisions. There's one or two justices often viewed as the pivotal justices. But this president has attempted so much to undermine the American system of government, to take into his hands and use power to issue executive orders, or then he stopped calling them orders, called them executive memorandums, thought we wouldn't notice there was a difference. There was no difference. That he tried. He said there was, but there wasn't. He's tried many ways to say, I'm not going to live within the limits of my power in the executive branch. I'm going to make the policies I want. And this is what mainly has caused his rulings to be, and his efforts to act like a member of Congress instead of a member of the executive branch caused the court to strike down his actions. But right now, in this particular Supreme Court session, there are many, many cases pending that really will impact President Obama's legacy. One has to do with the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. That this case will probably come out. I mean, all these cases will be decided. The decision will be announced in June. Probably several of these decisions have already been made by the court and the opinions are being written. One has to do with the Affordable Care Act. Just the idea, can the president single-handedly circumvent the Congress and make laws, make executive orders, and have his federal agencies that fall under the executive branch simply do what they want to do, in not just ignoring the wording of the federal law, but in direct contradiction to federal law. If the Supreme Court has retained any level of integrity, they have to strike down what has been happening with the insurance exchange benefits. And so this is, if Obamacare is struck down in these last 2 years prior to the end of President Obama's term, that will be huge in his legacy having failed. Another one has to do with I'm going to switch gears here with immigration. You know, the immigration area is another one where the federal law passed by Congress, passed by the people that you, the voters, choose to elect you, and President Obama simply decided, after having announced it something like 19 times in public, I have no authority to do this, what you want me to do. He finally decided he didn't care whether he had the constitutional authority, and he issued an executive order, essentially, and you can have people fuss about whether you should use the word amnesty, but circumventing, directly violating federal law and deciding and setting a standard unbased in law about what individuals would be deported, who's permitted to stay, changed federal law on immigration to give essentially executive amnesty. That case is going to end up before the Supreme Court. Right now, we have, where it stands, a federal judge in Texas originally held that the president cannot do what he tried to do with respect to this. And then it now has been affirmed by a court of appeals. So a federal appeals court is also held against President Obama. And I raise all these points to say, because we're up against a time we have to go to a top of the hour break, but I raise these. I know that can sound like, oh, people are just picking on President Obama, being too harsh, but really, standing up for the rule of law is what you should want, whether you are a rabid left-wing communist or a conservative, you know, constitution-loving, liberty-loving, whether you're a radical leftist or you're a radical rightist, whatever your views are, however far left you are, how far right you are, you should want the rule of law. Because if you don't have that, you don't have security in America. And so what President Obama is discovering, I hope, is that the Supreme Court is not going to let him make the changes he wants. He may win his place, his issue on marriage. We'll have to see when the Supreme Court comes out. So this is Debbie George Ass, Ladies Can We Talk. Come back after our break.
Liberals claim to deplore political correctness, but talk about it as an annoying tendency, kind of like if people interrupt each other. But political correctness is actually worse than interrupting. It is shutting down very important conversations on big subjects that we need to be talking about. You may have heard about the 1,400 girls in Rotherham, England, who were molested repeatedly by Pakistani Muslim gangs for a period of 16 years. And it was known by the police, but news of it was suppressed, and the Pakistani and Muslim identity of the perpetrators was largely denied, all because of political correctness. Big issues need to be discussed, including understanding the threat of radical Islam and Sharia in America. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and on my show, Ladies Can We Talk, let's defy political correctness and talk about the facts.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 4433 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 4433.
At Choice Hotels, we know business trips start with a choice. Stay or go. You can press send or press palms. Start a chat room or chat in an actual room. Just remember, opportunities won't come to you.